Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got another great show for you tonight. ADHD support, down-regulating ADHD emotions of others. We have a great speaker in with us tonight, Doug Knoll, who I'd like to thank Dr. Charles Parker for referring him to us. It was a spectacular find and a great opportunity for us to give you a really good show. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, January the 31st in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. A few quick tips. Tonight's show is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We're very, very, very pleased and proud that we've had a good relationship with you and they support our show. We're going to share a tip for you real quick. But before we do that, also I want to announce the 2018 or the third annual Women's Palooza virtual conference is starting to take place this coming Monday, the 5th. It is a 5-day event, chock full. I think they have 30 or 36 experts talking on a variety of ADHD women's issues. Many of the people that are in this, we've interviewed here on Attention Talk Radio, so I can attest to the quality of the speakers. You can learn more about the event by going to ADHDPALOOZA.com. I'd like to thank Linda Rogley personally for inviting me to come on and speak the last couple of years. This year, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve talking about ADHD and sleep or coaching you go to sleep. And I think that I share a few things that I'm confident you haven't heard in other places that I think are very, very powerful. So with that, again, tonight's show is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. They've got a little tip for you, so let's roll the tape and we'll get on to the show.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunch boxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHAD website, www.help4adhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Again, CHAD, thank you so much for bringing the show to you tonight. For those who are not aware, CHAD is the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates solely on behalf of those with ADHD. They're the ones that are on Capitol Hill. They're the ones that are talking to the regulatory agencies. And they're the ones that are providing some amazing resources to the general public. We encourage you to become a member, not just because of what they do and the resources, but mostly because they are the voice that speaks on our behalf collectively. And for those reasons, it's worth becoming a member. To do so, go to chadd.org to learn more. Okay, so tonight's show we have a Doug Knoll in. Again, he was a great find that was referred to me by Dr. Charles Parker. And this is really fascinating. I think that you're really going to enjoy the show. And it's basically how you can actually have an impact on others and downregulating their emotions. This is an exceptionally good show, particularly for those with ADHD and especially for those that support people with ADHD. So the show was taped in advance. So we'll roll it and we hope you enjoy it.
With us here in our studio tonight is Doug Knoll. He's a lawyer turned peacemaker. His calling is to serve humanity, and he executes his calling in many levels. His work has carried him to many dark places. He uses very pragmatic and practical skills of peace to help people resolve deep interpersonal conflict and, believe it or not, ideological conflict, which is, you'll know that, again, this program, you're going to like his stuff because this is really powerful and it's very, very tangible. He's an award-winning author of 3 books. He's a teacher, a speaker, and a trainer. His 4th book, De-Escalating, How to Calm an Angry Person in 90 Seconds or Less, was released by Beyond Words, Simon & Schuster in September of 2017. You can learn more about Doug at his website at DOUGGNOLL.com. And with that, Doug, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeff, great to be here.
I'm thrilled to be here, and I for our listeners out there who have followed us over a period of time, you know Dr. Parker is an individual that I've had on the show many different times talking about various things. And I'm really excited because Dr. Parker is always looking out for me. And he introduced me to Doug about a month or so ago and basically introduced me and shared with me some information. And as soon as he did that, I knew that Doug was definitely somebody we had to have on the show. Doug, you're a peacemaker. You have a legal background, but you're now a peacemaker, and you focus in on negotiations and making peace. Can you just tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got into this, and really kind of what you do?
Sure. So I've been a lawyer for 40 years. Passed the bar 40 years ago this month, if you can believe that. Unbelievable.
Wow.
So I grew up in Southern California, and I went back east to Dartmouth College. And then after college, I came back to California and went to law school and graduated, moved to Central California after law school, worked for a judge for a year, and then went into private practice with a firm in Central California. And the firm groomed me to be a trial lawyer. So I joined the firm in September of 1978. And a year after I passed the bar, and I tried my first jury trial in November of 1978, 6 weeks later. And my next trial was a defense of a huge securities fraud case in federal court in San Diego. That started in December of 1978 and lasted until May of 1979. And that's how my trial career started. And for the next 22 years, I was a trial lawyer. And I tried cases all over the country doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So along the way, I picked up the martial arts and ultimately became a secondary black belt in a Northern Chinese style. And my teacher called me in one day and said, "You're done. You're too arrogant. You're going to hurt somebody. You know, go learn Tai Chi." So I went out and started studying Tai Chi, which is the oldest of all martial arts. And in Tai Chi, there are two paradoxes that really changed my life. The first is the softer you are, the stronger you are. And the second is the more vulnerable you are, the more powerful you are. Soft to be strong, vulnerable to be powerful. Did not compute. It took me a long time and a lot of practice to finally figure out the truth of those paradoxes because I was all hard, fast, tough, mean, arrogant, jerk, that kind of stuff. But eventually this stuff soaked into me until one day I was trying a case in the mid-1990s, and the thought came to me, what the heck am I doing in here? And after that trial, I took off on a long whitewater trip with a bunch of friends, and I spent 10 days up in Idaho thinking about how many people I'd really served as a trial lawyer, and ultimately concluded that I had not served that many people and said, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. So I didn't know what I was going to do, but I came back. Uh-huh. Home, and I was driving. I live up in the mountains near Yosemite, and I was driving down to my office, and I heard a public service announcement for a new master's degree program in peacemaking and conflict studies being offered at Fresno Pacific University, which is the West Coast Mennonite University, and the Mennonites are one of the traditional Protestant peace churches. So that caught my attention for some reason, and ultimately I enrolled, and in my late 40s became a full-time graduate student, a full-time trial lawyer, and a three-quarters time law professor. And that was the end of my first marriage. So anyways, half the firm thought it was a great idea to open up a peacemaking practice. The other half thought I was absolutely insane. And we could never come to agreement, so I left in 2000 and opened up my peacemaking practice on November 1st, 2000, and never looked back. And since that time, I have mediated thousands of disputes, from very large business disputes involving $500 million in property, for example, real estate development, a partnership that went upside down, $500 million in assets, to a lot of the work that I'm doing today, which is working in maximum security prisons, training lifers and rapists and murderers how to be peacemakers within their prison environment. And, you know, some of the people that I've trained in the last couple of years were founders of the Aryan Brotherhood. I mean, the really violent people who have done really violent things in their past who have now been called to peacemaking. And I've trained over 1,000 inmates, lifers and long-termers, how to be effective peacemakers to stop violence in prisons. And so I've been doing that. And, of course, writing, teaching. I'm a law adjunct law professor, and you know, spreading the word about the skills that I've developed over the years that really are effective at helping people de-escalate conflict in really powerful, effective, and fast ways.
Yeah, so on our show, we like to pay attention to what people are paying attention to and really kind of look under the hood a little bit. And to me, peacemaking very much, there's a lot of emotion behind two conflicting sides a little bit. And it seems to me the heart of peacemaking is really trying to have to deal both help the individuals deal with the emotions of the situation so that they can resolve that conflict. Is that accurate? You want to speak to that for a second?
That's accurate. That's accurate. When people are in conflict, typically it's deeply emotionally charged. I mean, people are not going to pay me to come in and mediate a dispute unless they are unable themselves to have a conversation and to negotiate out their problems because their emotions are overwhelming them. And they've gotten to a place where they're polarized. They probably can't even talk to each other. And they have to get their problems solved for one reason or another. Typically, it's a relationship kind of problem, such as a family in fighting, or a business partners are fighting, or something like that. Litigated disputes too. But I really prefer to work in the non-litigated arena where emotions are much, much more intense. And that's right. It's all about it's part of the problem. My mantra is de-escalate, then problem solve.
Absolutely. Well, so everybody who's listening to the show that has listened to me over the years will hear me talk about Dr. Barclay's construct that ADHD is really an executive functioning largely, which is self-regulation, and attention is something you have to regulate, and emotion is something you have to regulate. So if you're listening to the show, you can imagine you could be a significant other, you could be a parent, you could be with somebody with ADHD. And two things I know is that when you get when you're frustrated off the charts, emotions start to run wild, and it gets kind of crazy. We've interviewed Melissa Orlov before, who helps adult couples, and she talks about the ADHD, the symptom-response, and that is an ADHD symptom arises, and the significant other responds emotionally to that symptom, and the person with ADHD then responds emotionally to their emotion, and it really escalates really
right.
Out of control. And she does a really good job about how couples kind of like recognize that. And she's got some techniques to de-escalate that. That's when they're in it. You do a lot of helping, like in mediation and conflict as a third party. But these techniques that we want to talk about today, you can actually apply in those situations. And it really is, to me, it's like an attention exercise. It's something that you can focus on. That's a technique that you've used tried and true again that can help de-escalate the emotion of the other person and yourself as well.
Three simple steps. Really, really simple. And let me explain for.
I'll tell you what, let's go to break real quick because I want to walk through those steps and stuff and really spend some time. I don't really want to break that up. So let's go do that. You've got a couple books out at your website. Can you just talk about those a little bit before we go to break?
Yeah, my first book is a textbook teaching law students about peacemaking and human conflict, because the law abstracts conflict into these ideas, legal principles, and so we lose the humanity of what people are experiencing. So that book was called Peacemaking, Practicing at the Intersection of Law and Human Conflict. The second book I co-wrote with John Bogart, a colleague of mine, and talking about diversity. It's Sex, Politics, and Religion at the Office, The New Competitive Advantage, and it's a leadership book that teaches leaders how to manage diversity positively and constructively in the workplace. Third book was a critique of international diplomacy and why we have such horrible rates of failure in peacemaking efforts in international conflict, and that book was called Elusive Peace: How Diplomatic Strategies Can Better Resolve World Conflicts. And finally, my fourth book, which you mentioned came out this last September, is called Deescalate: How to Calm an Angry Person in 90 Seconds or Less. And that book, which has done very well, I'm pleased to say, teaches the skills that we'll talk about after the break.
Absolutely. So everybody,
stuff.
Go to Doug's website at doughnoll.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Doug Knoll, Peacemaker. Before the break, he was giving us a little bit of background of his journey through the legal profession and then into peacemaking and some of the power of it. We just kind of teed up some of the issues with regard to ADHD, about emotional self-regulation. And we just started to touch base on a technique that we're going to get into a little bit of detail right now. And what I like about this is I was listening to Doug speak of this before. He's going to walk us through a few very tangible steps that you can do and practice and do as a skill in a situation where you've got to de-escalate somebody, whether they have ADHD yourself. And I think it's really powerful. What I really like about this, it's not theory. It's very hardcore, practical stuff that you can focus on, and it's tried and true. So, Dr. Bill, Doug, can you tell us about that and walk us through the steps?
Sure. So first of all, just because I do believe that practice is always based on theory, what we're going to be doing, what I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, is how to loan your prefrontal cortex to a person who's highly emotional. Because once a person is highly emotional, essentially they can no longer process their emotional experiences with their prefrontal cortex. Their prefrontal cortex is shut down. Our brains are either or. We're either emotional or we're able to be calm and work stuff through. So, and that's a condition called alexithymia, the inability to process or work with your own emotions. So what we are dealing with is this condition, and I'm going to show you how you help somebody, whether it's a 2-year-old having a tantrum or a 40-year-old acting like a 2-year-old, how every human brain is designed to respond. And if you follow these steps, you will be working right with the way the brain is programmed, and you can literally calm down any angry person in 45 seconds to 90 seconds. It's that simple. But you got to do it exactly right. that's the downside. So here are the steps. I'm going to lay out the steps, and then we can talk about it, and I can give you some examples of how it works. So step number one, whenever you're in front of an emotional person, spouse, child, whoever, the first thing you have to learn how to do is ignore the words. You have to ignore the words. The words, it's just noise. Ignore it. And the reason that you have to ignore the words is, one, the words are not important right now. You know what the words are. You've been yelled at a million times before, so there's no new information here that you need to worry about. And three, if you pay attention to the words, you're going to get ego involved, and you're going to get sucked into the conflict vortex. You're going to get sucked in. You're going to get escalated. So the first thing you have to do is learn how to ignore the words. And it seems weird, but it's actually pretty easy if you just practice it a little bit. Second step.
Okay.
Focus on what you think, you're going to guess now, the emotional experience of your speaker is having. We can't read minds, but we're pretty good guessers when it comes to emotions. And there are really only 9 different feelings or emotions attention to, and they come in layers. So obviously, most of the time when we're dealing with strong emotions, it's negative emotion, and it starts with anger. Anger, rage, deep hostility. And then underneath that, we're going to have fear and anxiety. And underneath that, we're going to have some what I call dignitary stuff, like disrespect, not being heard, feeling like you're being treated unfairly. underneath that is going to be sadness and grief. Somewhere in there, there's going to be shame and humiliation and guilt. And then at the bottom, there's going to be abandonment and the feeling of being completely unloved and alone in the world. Those are the layers. And every time somebody's strongly emotional, it's going to be somewhere in those layers. So you start off and you guess at what somebody's feeling. Then the third step is the secret sauce. And this is how you respond to emotion and no other way. What you do is you reflect back to the person who's really emotional what you think their emotional experience is using a very simple declarative you statement. Hey, Jeff, man, you are really pissed off. You are really angry. You're just enraged right now. That's all you say. You do not use I statements. You do not ask questions. All you do is simple declarative you statements. And as you say it, what happens is that somehow the speaker's brain is able to process this information, take this information and process it, link it to what's really going on in perspective, connect the dots, and calm down. And there's some amazing neuroscience that shows how this works. And so what you do is you continue to reflect back the emotions until four things happen. You get a nod of the head, affirmative nod of the head, nodding up and down, at least in Western culture. This is going to culturally vary. Two, you're going to get some kind of verbal response like, yeah, or usually it's going to be some really sharp like, yeah, or exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
And then you're going to get a dropping of the shoulders, and you're going to get a big sigh of relief. When you see those four things, you're done. You've penetrated, they've processed, and now they've released. And now you can get into problem solving. Now, they might get re-escalated again in 30 seconds, in which case you just repeat the process. But once you've got those four things going, it's over with. Now, here are some really cool things that happen when you do this. One, of course, you're able to de-escalate a person who's very emotional, who may be screaming at you. But what happens over time with practice is two things happen. One, you become egoless, which means people can say whatever they want to say to you, and it will not upset you in the slightest. You will not feel embarrassed. You will not get mad. You will not be reactive. With practice, you reprogram your brain so that you totally don't have any of those reactions. Because you're egoless, you feel no ego, so that there's nothing there to attack. And the other thing that happens, which is really cool, is over a period of practice, and by this I mean weeks of practice, not years of practice, you begin to affect label yourself. This is called affect labeling. You begin to label your own emotions, and within a couple of weeks, you are able to say, when you're confronted with some situation, you're able to say, hey, I'm really angry. Oh, man, I'm really frustrated. I just felt disrespected. I don't feel listened to right now. I don't feel supported.
Yep.
And you're able to literally calm yourself down and basically do for yourself what you're doing for other people. It takes about a month of solid practice. You know, doing this three or four times a week over a month will control over your own emotional experience, not by stopping your emotions, but by labeling them in a way that allows your brain to process them so that you become calm and centered again. Powerful, powerful stuff.
So this is spectacular. I just want to tie in a few things that we've done in the past in some other shows. We've done a couple shows on active listening and the idea that active listening is not necessarily what you hear. It's actually talking and really trying to get the other person on the side. We've actually talked about – we've had people on who do improv training to help people listen because you have to be in the moment listening. And, Doug, what I'm hearing is when you ignore the words, you're actually listening and mirroring back the emotion that's there, which is a coaching technique. We receive them and we mirror back with it, like you're feeling angry, you're feeling frustrated, because we want them to feel understood and that we get them. And what's interesting is, as you said, you get the nod of the head and the verbal, and they relax, because as a coach, we're trying to create that safe environment to remove the emotions so that they can relax, and then we can kind of problem solve. And so this really kind of maps into a lot of those type of concepts. And then when they de-escalated that emotion, again, you've got them in a situation where you down-regulated their prefrontal cortex by sharing yours, if you will, and now you can actually have a conversation and problem solve. You want to make any comments on what I just said?
Yeah, I want to be very careful here, because there is a lot of myth out there about active listening, and there's a lot of bad practice. First of all, you never use an I statement. when you're listening to another person. That goes all the way back to the 1950s, where the work of Carl Rogers was completely misconstrued by a whole bunch of people, and the neuroscience shows us that does not work. Just go look at the work of Matthew Lieberman if you need the science on that. So no I statements.
Yep.
Whenever you're listening to somebody else, it's always a you statement. Second, there are different kinds of listening, and so you have to be careful about what kind of listening you're talking about. You can mirror, which is where you repeat back word for word exactly what another person says, which is only used for procedures and readbacks and rules and recipes and stuff like that, where you just have to have absolute clarity for safety reasons usually that one person understands the other person exactly. Then you have paraphrasing, where you use your own words to describe, to rephrase what somebody else has said. You have the third level, which is core messaging, where basically somebody is talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and basically you core message by going to the gist of their meaning. You're no longer focusing on the words. You're focusing on their meaning only, and in less than 10 words, you give them the meaning of what they're trying to say. And then finally, you get to the fourth level, the deepest level, which is affect labeling, where the words are not important at all. All you're doing is focusing on emotions and reflecting back the emotional experience you think that person is having. Those are the four levels of reflective listening. Anything other than that, in my opinion, is wrong. And it's abusive, in a hugely abusive way. And go look at the ACEs study if people want to figure this out. I mean, I really get passionate about this because in my field of dispute resolution, there are a lot of people who are making a lot of mistakes in what they're training people to do, and especially using I statements. I cannot overemphasize how important it is not to use an I statement in this work, because it immediately becomes about you, not about the other person.
I want to understand that.
And the brain doesn't process that.
If I'm saying I, it's about me, it's not the other person, and this is about
that's
the other
right.
person, so that's why the
that's
emphasis
right.
is on the you statement. And what I like about what you've described is that procedurally it's very simple. Ignore the words, guess at the emotion, and say you, and reflect, just guess at the emotion, and continue to do that.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you're saying good chance that you can de-escalate in 45 to 90 seconds so that you can actually have a conversation.
That's right. And here's the other cool thing. Let's suppose you're wrong. Supposing I say, Jeff, you're really, man, you are really, really angry. And you're not really angry. You'll say, no, I'm not really angry. I'm frustrated. Oh, Jeff, you're really frustrated. You simply repeat back what they tell you. What you're doing is allowing them to process their stuff so that if you guess wrong, they'll correct you. You come back with a correction and you move on. And then, of course, it turns out that as you continue to process, you finally come back and say, yeah, I really am angry. See, that anger was you were not able to process it. And at first you didn't think you were angry. You thought you were frustrated. I reflect that to you and eventually reprocess and process until finally it comes around that, yeah, you're really angry. And then it turns out that it's really not about anger. It's about the fact that you feel completely unsupported, unlistened to, and unloved. And those are the deep stuff that's driving the anger. So, I mean, this stuff's amazing.
Yeah, everybody, as you think of it, it's just you can actually go back and write down. We've got anger, we got resentment, we got anxiety, we got sadness. We got those things. It's just guess you and whatever. I think the key really is ignoring the words. Not an easy thing to do, but that's really key in this formula, correct?
That is key. That is the key. That is the key, because the moment we start listening to the words, we get triggered ourselves. We get anxious. We get frustrated. We even become angry, especially if we're being insulted or disrespected. And now all of a sudden, we're getting escalated ourselves. So we have to prevent ourselves from getting escalated. And we do that by ignoring the words and focusing only on the emotions. And when you do that, when you ignore the words and focus on the emotions, you're using up so much of your bandwidth in your brain that there's no room for you to be upset. That's the beauty of this.
Yep.
It's amazing. Anyway,
let's go into a break again real quick, and we'll come back. I'm going to kind of talk about a few things with regard to that. I've shared my own experience ignoring the words, which is really powerful for me. Before we go to break, everybody, go check out Doug's website at DOUGNOLL.com. Check out his books, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here talking to Doug about tried and true methods to de-escalate emotions for peacemaking. And he's walked us through what three really, but sounds like really pretty simple steps. I think some of the keys here is use you statements, not I statements. I really think that that's like the crux of everything. The cool part is you get to guess at the emotion. The trick really is ignoring the words. And can you just talk to us about that, Doug, a little bit? Because I think that requires a little bit of practice, is my gut. And just your experience in working with inmates and those, what words of wisdom do you have for us in this space?
So to learn how to ignore the words takes just a little bit of practice. And really, it's not practice so much as learning how to ignore the words, because we're pretty good at ignoring things when we want to. It's learning that that socially it works, that this skill really works. So what I tell people to do is next time you go to Starbucks or you're going in to get your coffee, wherever you get your coffee in the morning, look at the person who's taking your order and ignore their words for a second and just look at their emotions and guess at what they're feeling. And it's always going to be positive. So you would say, hey, man, you look really happy this morning. You look really excited to be here. And usually people that are in that position are trained for this, right? So they are going to be excited and happy because they tend to like their jobs. And watch what happens. Just observe what happens. And observe what happens when you ignore the words, pay attention to the emotion, and guess at the emotion in a positive environment. So you could do it with a Starbucks barista. You could do it if you're any kind of clerk that you're dealing with here. Now we're getting into Christmas season. We're going to see people who are our retail clerks are going to be really stressed out, but some of them are going to be happy and say, "Hey, you look a little tired. You look a little stressed out. You look a little anxious." And just whatever you see, reflect that back to somebody that's a perfect stranger. And practice that a few times. And then you will learn that, "Hey, I can't ignore the words. Pay attention to the emotions and reflect emotional experience." And it works. So you're going to practice this in very safe, low-risk social situations until you have the confidence to know that it really works. And then you can start working with it, and it'll take a little bit more risk and do a do a throwaway. So you've got a kid who has a temper tantrum, or maybe, I love the perfect example of the 12, 13, 14-year-old boys who are totally emotionally unresponsive. And you say, hey, man, you're really frustrated right now. And just leave it at that. Don't go any further. Don't look for the reaction. Just reflect what you think that kid is experiencing in the moment. Throw it out there. See what happens. And then back off. Do it a little bit at a time and just see what happens. And experiment. Test this stuff yourself. Don't take it from the great Doug Knoll if this works. You've got to test it yourself and make it part of your own stuff. And so you do that by taking it step by step by step, really simple, low-risk situations where if you blow it, it's not embarrassing, you're not humiliating yourself, and you just say, okay, back to the lab, let's figure out what I did wrong and go try again. And it'll only take you five or six times of practicing this to figure out and see what's going on. And then over a period of time, again, 2, 3, 4 weeks, it will become a natural part of how you respond to people. And you'll see your whole life change. It's who I am right now. So when I'm out and about, and I just label everywhere I go. And it's amazing to watch how people respond to you. You make their day. You're listening them into existence. That's what I call
it. I
gotta
believe that when you're doing that day to day, it has an impact and they remember you. I would think that you stand out just by doing that.
Well, I don't know if they remember me, but what they do remember is that they were validated in a very deep and meaningful way. And most people have never experienced that kind of deep emotional validation. And so when they have been validated, they tend to remember the validation and the good feelings they had about that. They may not remember the guy, but yep. or the person that did it, but they do remember the experience they've had.
Remember the experience.
Profoundly.
So I want to share an experience that I had that I didn't listen to the words. Just interested in your comment in the context of what you're doing. A couple years ago, my father was his health was failing, and it was becoming difficult for my mother to take care of him, and my brother and I needed to take him into a facility. And in preparing for the event, because I leave from Florida to go up to Virginia, my brother was going to come down, is I was kind of thinking at the time, because it was going to be really emotional, and I began to think that my father is really upset at that time of life and whatever, and I began to realize in my mind that it was very emotional for him. And it's kind of funny because I imagined that there was this thing out there called life and that he was going to curse life. There was no tomorrow. It just so happens I'd be the body in front of him that he'd be spewing that venom to. But I was able to detach myself and say, it's not our personal relationship. It's he's just upset with life, and actually acknowledge that I too would probably say the same thing and not mean it towards the person. And I went up there, and sure enough, that's what happened. But I got to tell you, at least for me, I didn't listen to the words, and it was really powerful for me because I felt like I was able to manage the situation in a much more intellectual, thoughtful way, and actually deal with my father and kind of getting him in. And so the what I'm really trying to illustrate is, for me, that was a technique that I use, and by realizing it was emotion and not the words and not getting attached to it personally, it was a transformative situation I was able to manage. So I just do thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I think it's really important to realize that when we say ignore the words, we're not saying ignore the person.
Yes.
You know, and that's exactly what you illustrated there. You were not ignoring your dad. You're just ignoring what he was saying and focusing on what he needed and how you were able to help him navigate through this difficult part of the end of life transition. And by ignoring his words, you were able to actually pay more attention to him as a human being. And at some deep level, he experienced that. And that's what we're really talking about here. Because our Western culture orients us towards words. We think logic and rationality has primacy over emotions, which is totally wrong. We're emotional beings. We're not rational. The thing that separates human beings from all other species is our emotions, not our rationality. This flies in the face of – this is what neuroscience is telling us. And you know,
yep.
So Western culture and philosophy and religion and economics and law, all wrong, all based on really wrong assumptions around human behavior. Neuroscience is telling us we are emotional beings first, with a little bit of bounded rationality here and there that help us solve unusual problems that pop up in our environment. But most of the time we're on autopilot and we're just having an emotional experience. And we have emotions because they make us pay attention to what's going on around us. And if we didn't have emotions, we couldn't function. So
we
can't even become...
We've had Dr. Thomas Brown on the show in the past talking about emotions are like Google of the brain. It kind of helps you retrieve
right.
kind of what's there. We've had Rick
that's
Green
right.
from Totally ADD, who's in TV business, and he talked to us about how stories sell, statistics don't. All
that's
this stuff
right.
kind of really plays into we're emotional beings, and to manage conflict is to manage the emotions before you can and to downregulate that so we can actually have a conversation. So go ahead.
So if we're learning, if we learn and can accept the fact and get over this Aristotelian idea that we're emotional rather than rational, and you just forget Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, forget those guys for the moment, we're emotional, then that makes this technique of affect labeling, where you ignore the words, listen for the emotions, reflect back the emotions, there it makes it totally logical. Well, of course, if we're emotional beings, why shouldn't we be paying attention to people's emotional states and reflecting those back to them? It makes total sense. It's in fact,
so,
to do anything else would be crazy.
Absolutely. So I'm going to walk through a timeline because this is – I think we can pull this together and a big picture really make a lot of sense. We've got the system. Ignore the words, guess at the motion, and use you statements. You're angry. You're frustrated, whatever. The
there
cool
you go.
Part out
beautiful.
Of that is it's very easy. It's very easy. Now, in order to execute this – we've got to go, and we've got to ignore the words. So the idea, because when you're ignoring the words, that's self-regulation because you've got to ignore the words so your emotions don't get into it. And so we go practice that consciously out and about in the world, and we do that to train ourselves into this technique. So we train ourselves to ignore the words so that manages our emotions, and then we're able to help manage the other person's emotions. And when that's done, then we can have a conversation. Now, is
that's
that too oversimplified?
That is absolutely, you've nailed it. Exactly correct. Perfect.
And so
that's exactly
for
how it works.
Crowd out there that's listening to this show because ADHD is a self-regulation issue and there's emotions there, whether you have ADHD or not, because it's an emotional situation, what Doug has outlined for us is a tried-and-true method he's proven thousands of times. All you have to do is go out and practice it, and I encourage you. I think the trick here really is to learn to ignore the words, and if you can do that and just focus on the you and the emotional state on the other side, I think that's relatively simple, and you're telling us this has worked across the board in some amazing situations, and you even be able to mitigate ideological conflicts, which are really deep-seated core belief systems. And
oh yeah,
is that how powerful this is?
It's extremely powerful. I can tell you some funny stories, and I'll tell you one funny story in a second. But I've had trained inmates who report back that they've stopped gang riots using these techniques in prisons. I mean, it's that powerful.
Wow.
The funny story is in my graduate classes at Pepperdine, typically I'll be teaching this, and typically I teach it on a Friday and we'll come back on Saturday, and that'll be the homework assignment. Go out, use it, and I'll tell my young female students, I'll say, now be very careful about this, because if you use this technique unwittingly on a guy, he's going to start hitting on you. And sure enough, the story always comes back. So one student of mine came back one Saturday morning and said, well, actually, this morning she said I was in Starbucks and I was going to use the technique on you, and some guy behind me dropped some papers on the floor, and I squatted down and started helping him pick up the papers. And I said, wow, you must be really embarrassed and upset that you dropped these papers. And she started laughing. She said, I couldn't get rid of this guy. He's just like you said, he started hitting on me. Because he felt so validated by her, he thought that because he felt so validated by her that she was attracted to him, and so he started hitting on her. And she said, you're exactly right. I said, I had no idea that this would happen. But he said, and she was just cracking up, saying, this is really amazing stuff. So if you're out there dating and you want to be attractive to people, listen to their emotions, not their words, and focus and validate them, but be very careful, because you're creating a very deep empathic bond very, very, very quickly, because you're going right to the core center of what it means to be human. It's powerful.
Wow.
It's really powerful.
This is a great show. I'm so happy that you came on the show, and kudos to Dr. Parker for making the introduction. Before we close down, any last comments, any last thing to say?
I would say that this is, the one thing that I will say is that this is the antidote for one of the most abusive things that we do as human beings to each other, and that's to emotionally invalidate each other. So, for example, for guys know all about this. You're 2 years old, you fall over, you skin your knee, you start crying. What are you told? You're told, don't be a sissy, grow up, be a man, don't cry. We're culturally trained to shut down our emotions from a very, very young age. And the ACEs study, the Adverse Childhood Experience Study out of San Diego, shows us that when that happens repeatedly over childhood, that people who have been emotionally invalidated, have been emotionally abused in this way, even in the most benign way, suffer from cancer, heart failure, diabetes, obesity, drug addiction,
wow,
tobacco addiction, prison. I mean, it's amazing how emotional abuse at 2 years old relates to bad outcomes in adulthood. And Kaiser Permanente did this study for obvious reasons. They're interested in wellness, and great for them. This study has been ongoing for 10 years. You can get the study out on the web. Just watch it. It's emotional invalidation. And what this technique of affect labeling does, it's the antiviral for emotional invalidation. It is the antidote. If you can learn how to emotionally validate people, by everything changes. Everything changes.
And we've outlined a simple formula for you to go out and practice, and you do need to practice it to kind of downregulate your own emotions.
You need to practice.
With that, Doug, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jeff, it's been really exciting. Thanks a lot, man.
Everybody, go to his website, DougNoll.com. Check out his book, De-escalating, How to Calm an Angry Person in 60 Seconds or Less. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.